After the Great Depression, the Northwest's faltering timber industry got its second wind. The comeback started with World War II. The war effort created a huge demand for lumber. It also spurred advancements in technology, setting the region up for one of the largest timber harvests in U.S. history. As part of our EarthFix series, exploring the impact of the military on the environment of the Northwest, Jess Burns looks at the connections between World War II and the development of the most iconic symbol of modern logging, the chainsaw.
Growing up, Paul Skirvin milked a lot of cows.
One side of the barn was filled with cattle, another side with horses. Then we got our first tractor. The horses went, so the other side filled up with cows, too. So then I was milking more cows.
He lived on a small dairy outside of Portland in the 1930s and 40s. Skirvin was too young to fight in World War II. But soon after it ended, he got a quick lesson in economics. Skirvin and his older brother were hired to log off their neighbor's land.
We milked them cows all month and make about the same as we make a week of logging. The cows went real fast.
It was the beginning of a 50-year career in logging. And there couldn't have been a better time to get started in the business. World War II had revived the industry and pushed the chainsaw into the hands of the Northwest logger.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air. President Roosevelt has just announced.
During the war, the military needed wood, and lots of it, for barracks, ships, trucks, planes, bridges, and crates for shipping supplies to Europe and the Pacific. But there weren't enough loggers around to meet the demand, says University of Oregon historian Stephen Beda.
Loggers are exempt from the draft because the demand for lumber is so high.
The government also considered more extreme solutions.
They were almost going to use Nazi POWs to log in the Northwest because that's how much they needed lumber.
This was proposed by the War Labor Board.
But the union protested so vehemently that they never went through with this plan.
Chainsaws were around before the war, but they were two-man monstrosities, and there was some hesitation on the part of loggers to take them on, says Beda.
One of the things they complained about was the noise, that the early chainsaws were loud, they were nasty, they spit oil, they spit gas.
But with wartime labor shortages, more and more lumber companies started turning to this technology to speed up the cut. The sweet song of the handsaw gradually faded, and Northwest forests filled with the harsh buzz of the chainsaw. Chainsaw technology rapidly improved after World War II. In the late 40s, saws that looked closer to the modern chainsaw started to appear, thanks to the development of magnesium alloy, strong, light material.
The fact that, you know, a chainsaw now becomes a lot cheaper and a lot more easy to manufacture has to do with this new industrial infrastructure created as a consequence of the war.
We got our first power saw then from Monkey Ward, I think it was.
Paul Skirvin's first state-of-the-art chainsaw came from the old department store Montgomery Ward. It still weighed around 60 pounds.
After you got a power saw, man, just zip it a lot faster, 10, 5, 8 times faster.
And this new speed and efficiency came not a minute too late. The historic wartime demand for timber was quickly eclipsed by the post-war suburban construction boom.
Some businesses are moving to the low-rent outskirts. And so are families which can afford houses in the country. The trend is away from the congested center.
They hollered about progress, you know, but they kept building more houses and you had to keep producing more because they build more houses, and as saws come into existence, well, man, made you even more productive. Yeah, you do a lot more, shorter length of time.
Billions of board feet were being cut in the United States, and the Northwest took the lead, says historian Stephen Beda.
If you live in a house made in the 1950s, 1960s, I could almost guarantee it's Washington or Oregon lumber that built that house.
And it's the legacy of that massive cut, powered by new technology and fueled by post-war prosperity, that set the Northwest on an economic, environmental, and political path we continue to walk today. I'm Jess Burns, reporting.